This is Mae Brussel. It's side two of broadcast number 750. I hope you tape this while I'm on the air. That's why I take that one-minute break, so that you can turn your tape recorder over, and then you can play these back for years to come, I hope. Jack Anderson wrote in 1981 about the plans to kill Gaddafi. He wrote many articles on it. He said the CIA still has their eyes cast towards Gaddafi, that there have been whispers slipping around of an assassin slipping into Libya to do away with Muammar Gaddafi. Now, I've often thought that while Jack Anderson writes very wonderful things, he also serves as an agent provocateur, and anybody from Libya could read this if they didn't read the other articles about William Casey. At the time of Watergate, it turned out that Frank Sturgis, the anti-Castro Cuban that worked with Squad 19, with E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy and James McCord and so forth, was a lifelong friend of Jack Anderson's and a supplier of information to Anderson, and he also has believed to have been at Dealey Plaza. Many people think that Sturgis was, in fact, one of those tramps and was involved in the murder of John Kennedy. And, of course, Jack Anderson will never touch the investigation of John Kennedy. Now, at the time that Kennedy was murdered, Robert Mayhew of the CIA was working with John Roselli and Sam Giancana, and it became an open secret, such as the secret to kill Gaddafi, that the CIA was going to kill Fidel Castro. So when the CIA arranged the murder of John Kennedy, they blamed Castro because he thought they were going to kill him first. And even Henry Hurt in 1986, just this past month, is touring around the country saying that Fidel Castro had the most reason to kill John Kennedy. So by planning the murder of Gaddafi, talking about it, and so forth, Jack Anderson did bring up the subject. He said, "There's one bugaboo that troubles thoughtful strategists. Assassination is a game that anyone could play, and I had this way back on broadcast 509, that's a long time ago, about 4 years ago, and he said killer squads could come and ambush Ronald Reagan in retaliation for his wanting to kill Gaddafi. So as I said before, what better way for CIA George Bush, CIA director, to get rid, or the people to get rid of Ronald Reagan, who's making a lot of mistakes, and I'll do more about the David Stockman book in weeks to come, but beware now that a lot of exposés of Reagan are coming out that can break down everything he's done, which deserves to be broken down, but get ready for a new administration under Vice President George Bush. Now, this past week, the news media has been trying to link the Soviet Union to the network of terrorism. So then you ask yourself, you go one more state. If Gaddafi is responsible for terrorism, and we set him up and taught him all these ways and taught him, and now he has to be knocked down, is the next person then going to be the Soviet Union? It's not going to be Libya, and it's not going to be Iran, but we're working towards that war against the Soviet Union. Now, Reverend Moon's paper with editor Arnard de Borchgrave has a large front-page story. Casey, William Casey of the CIA, links Gorbachev to network of terrorism. The important thing is that he's telling people that Mr. Gorbachev is trying to solidify a network of terrorists all around the world to subvert the world, the free world. Well, we are doing the drug dealing and subverting ourselves, and he says they're using Syria and Libya to sabotage the Middle East, and yet we've done everything, and you can't do in 1 hour, all the mistakes we've made in the Middle East to sabotage ourselves. It's the thinking and blaming the Soviet Union as we foul up every area that we touch, that they are responsible for the mix-up, and that the terrorism and the poverty and the collapse of the banks and the starvation and the diseases coming are therefore from the Soviet Union. The San Francisco Examiner has a story, U.S. Assails Soviet Role in Crisis. The Reagan administration, stung by cancellation of summit planning talks, lashed out at the Soviet Union for lack of progress. And they put off some of these talks because of the events taking place in Libya. Well, the people in the Soviet Union must be equally as smart as somebody like Mae Brussel, who's fairly ignorant, to figure out how this provocation has been going on. And Bernard Kalb, again, from the Pentagon, saying, "We've wasted 6 months since the summit." Well, nothing was done at the summit. We were supposed to talk about arms reduction. The president says, "I'll never barter Star Wars." There's really much less, no more to say if you're not going to give up some of the things that you want in order to have world peace, which they don't want. And the LA Times has a story by Norman Kempster, "U.S. Ties Soviet Inaction on Terror to Raid." And again, they are blaming the Soviet Union and Mr. Bernard Kalb and so forth, that they're not doing anything, and they're the cause of the friction, and they put themselves in a pretty big box, and they have to figure out what to do as far as the summit goes, and talking about weapons, that they're not cooperating. And there's so much double talk in all of these articles. I just cite three, and there's many more. But in the minds of the American people, if you have problems, if you can't travel, if the traveling is off, if the librarian is killed, if a pilot is killed flying over there, it's all the Soviets' fault. And they, now that they're going to be ready to squash Gaddafi, they're moving on to Russia, which is what Ronald Reagan did when the Korean airline went down. And the investigations of those things follow quietly and take many years and a long time. But the rhetoric stays in the mind, just as Hitler's rhetoric about the various countries that he plowed through. Now, this past week, there was an article, U.S.-German Accord on Star Wars is leaked. It didn't leak. The United States brought over the space scientists from Peenemünde, the Project Paperclip people, to make Star Wars. There are so many thousands of books on the weapons in space. In my own library, I have many, many books, of maybe 100, on the weapons in space and Star Wars, and the main one, Project Paperclip, that came out by Clarence Lansby. But the text of the accord wasn't just leaked. They're saying maybe it was a possible act of treason. The Star Wars Accord was signed March 27th by Caspar Weinberger and West German Economics Minister Martin Bangman. Now, that is a day of infamy that you can put down that will affect all of your lives. And in our lifetime, we will be sorry that this kind of thing happened. But this is the goal of all of the activity. The accord with Germany and Star Wars has been a continuous love affair between Germany, German bases, Nazis, the CIA, the National Security Council, the Pentagon, and Air Force, and Marines, and Navy, and every branch of our armed services, and the ultimate is to control the world through the heavens. Newsweek and various newspapers are reviewing David Stockman's book, and I'll do more on it later, The Fatal Flaws of the Reagan Revolution. But the important thing about the book is that, just reading the reviews of it and a few comments, is that he left the Office of Management Budget because Ronald Reagan ran to balance the budget, and he realized, and this is the important thing about the warfare state, he realized that there was going to be nothing but money for weapons. He said George Shultz and Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger were consumed with minutiae of U.S. involvement in Lebanon, and he said they were consumed with weapons. He had the greatest contempt for Weinberger. There were incessant demands, and his goal was budget equilibrium, and he wanted to keep a handle on the weapons. But he said there were weapons increases that just went out of hand, and Weinberger had no discernible plan other than weapons are better. Now, don't get too excited about David Stockman, even though he has a few nasty things, and I'm sure more in his book about Alexander Haig. He went to work for Salomon Brothers, which is a client of Kissinger Associates, and the conflict of Haig and Kissinger versus Shultz and Weinberger, the competition of the East, the Bechtel Group, versus the Eastern one is very important. Stockman was paid to go into the offices of Salomon and Brothers and then got $2.5 million for a book by Harper and Row and $1 million to be under the clutches of Henry Kissinger and Kissinger Associates and Salomon. So this isn't a great liberal pointing out the problems in the system. It's somebody maybe preparing the way for Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger to be president or chief of staff or secretary of defense and pushing them to the brink. It'll be interesting to read more about the book, but the gist I got from what I could see was his anger that Shultz and Weinberger had no hold on the weapons, that anything you had in the way of weapons was better. There was no plan, and that it offended him that he couldn't stop the amount of waste and the weapons that they wanted. And that, again, goes back to the whole idea that this is a warfare state, and the weapons are necessary because they have a goal maybe by 1988, to the way it's escalating now and before the next elections, possibly to get us into the brink of a World War III. Now, William Pfaff, who's a representative of the LA Times in Paris, wrote an article for the LA Times, America throws a tantrum. Getting Gaddafi is a selfish catharsis, not a cure for terrorism. And again, I might cite that these people are missing the point. There is not an interest in a cure for terrorism. We have trained them so that we can respond to them. And the article says that Washington is a city that thinks about one thing at a time. Right now it is terrorism. Thinking is the wrong word for what they do. What is happening is less intellectual than visceral. A violent emotional response is taking place to attacks upon Americans abroad. Now, if Mr. William Pfaff would go back to 1972, when Black Abductor was written, and incidentally, that's when Mr. Rafi Eitan was in San Diego with the Permandex group, a book was written about the kidnapping of an American heiress whose relatives, father, grandfather, were publishers, and that she would be taken by a motley group of terrorists, and it was the exact script from an office never seen, a printer never seen, for the kidnapping of Patty Hearst that escalated the SWAT teams in America, that escalated domestic terrorism for Ronald Reagan and Ed Meese in 1972 out of San Diego, when I was referring last week to the Eitan connections to Permandex in San Diego. Anybody who would study Leo Chern, who's on the International, the Foreign Advisory Intelligence Board, and his role to the SLA and the Defense Department and the CIA Defense Department, would know that the beginning and building up of terrorism was planned, where right now the attack, as I say, on Gaddafi is not a response to it. It is something, the SWAT team didn't come in necessarily to respond to the kidnapping of Patty Hearst or the taking of some minutia at a little department store in L.A., some socks or something that triggered off finding these people. It was so small, when it was burning six people alive for what had actually taken place, and Patty Hearst was alive. These things are on the drawing board. So Mr. Pfaff from Paris, I guess I pronounced his name, P-F-A-F-F, says that Washington is in deep resentment that other governments won't accept the American case, that Gaddafi's responsible for the Berlin nightclub. Well, maybe the other governments are studying and understanding what agent provocateurs are and can't jump into the scene, even though the people on the streets were interviewed that it was just wonderful action. He said the Reagan administration has by now convinced itself beyond all argument that the answer to its terrorist problems lies in doing something about Gaddafi. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago on broadcast 746 that part of the training of Ronald Reagan was the biblical prophecy, the Falwells, the Power Robertsons, and those kind of people, that by taking Gaddafi in Libya, it would trigger this Middle Eastern conflict that would then bring the Armageddon and the war against Russia. So definitely the problem is in Gaddafi, because that's the button that you hit to get the proper responses that you want. But he doesn't understand or study history to realize, and nobody publishing these kinds of editorials even thinks along these lines. He says, this bombing over in Libya represents another disastrous triumph of the American image-making machine, the Star System, applied this time to international politics. Well, the image-making machine has to do with Pope John Paul II at Auschwitz, who took acting, or it has to do with Evita Perón, who was an actress, or Ronald Reagan, who was an actor, if you can call him that. The Star System is definitely in, and it was built up as the image while the war machine rolled on. He said, not only does Ronald Reagan hold this view, but Senator Edward Kennedy, leader of the Democratic Liberals, said in Congress, this is a quote, and you can be very ashamed of Ted Kennedy. Right after the bombing, he said, get all Libyans expelled from Europe, get all economic ties cut between Western Europe and Libya. European forces should join American naval demonstrations off Libya. The Europeans have had a free ride for too long in the struggle against terrorism. Now, I would love Senator Ed Kennedy to get on a stand and say under oath whether or not he attended with Aristotle Onassis and Jacqueline Onassis the burial in 1971 of a body of Howard Hughes off a Greek island that was dumped into the water in those time periods. Who is Ted Kennedy, and what do they have on him and his various activities? And how can a man who comes out as a liberal stand there and tell you to expel every Libyan from Europe? I would like to go through the newspaper articles of 1979, 1980, 1981, and see when Ted Kennedy said anything about the Turple, Wilson, Carlos connections to Gaddafi, to the CIA people arming Gaddafi? Has he ever asked for Robert Vesco? Does he ask where Frank Turple is? Where is Senator Kennedy into the real role of terrorism in the Middle East? Or George Habash, who sets up these fronts that work, sure, with Gaddafi, but work with the CIA and Mr. Pinochet from Chile? When did Senator Edward Kennedy become an expert on getting rid of Libyans in Europe? This article, continuing just from the LA Times story, it says, Europeans can't bring themselves seriously to believe the simplicities that are proclaimed here. And this man is writing from Paris, William Pfaff. They can't bring themselves seriously. Well, they've gone through the Bologna bombing. They've gone through the terror through the years. They've gone through the Red Brigades and the Bader-Meinhof. They know that Carlos worked with the intelligence communities. They know that actions have taken place that weren't as they appeared to be. Even they can remember things like the Gulf of Tonkin or the Reichstag fire. And he cites from Paris that one American was killed and 204 were injured, 64 of them Americans, and Germany has more than twice the reasons to be concerned over the bombings in Berlin, but they weren't. And he said many in Washington are dismayed by Reagan's obsession with Gaddafi. Now, it's one thing to be dismayed by the obsession about Gaddafi, but as Senator Dernburg said, we're reacting on a gut level of liars with a past record of lying, telling us something happened, and going on that for the invasion of Grenada, not going into it, going on that for going in and bombing Libya. We are using liars like Mr. Bernard Kalb and the Pentagon and the media, mass media, and justifying things that are pulling us like quicksand into this quagmire of never-ending hell on earth with bombings and wars and moving people and displacing people. And we're doing it by people who are sick mentally, who have a track record going back to the past war, who have been part of all the political assassinations that have come down the pike, and continue to fester the planet Earth with their disease mentality and bring so much harm, and what will get the people in Europe behind attacking Gaddafi and so forth will be some more confrontation set up by some more provocateurs. And I'm not saying that Gaddafi isn't a terrorist, and I'm not saying Mr. Nasser isn't, or that Sadat, who has trained you along with Gaddafi for getting rid of Nasser and Farouk before them, these heads of states are mean. But Ronald Reagan sat on the Rockefeller Committee and lied about the murder of John Kennedy, and the CIA assassination plots have told enough terrorism just in our own congressional records to show that we are terrorists and murderers and attempted murderers, and we use chemicals and food poisoning and every kind of a weapon to kill heads of states. And even Senator Dole is asking for permission to kill. Just give me the right to say we can kill anyone we want, because up till now they did it anyway. And it's the hypocrisy that really galls me about this whole thing. One isn't perfect, but I think we have trained these terrorists and given them the means to do it, and we have no right to take a political dictatorship in our own country because they respond to a way than when we goad them and attack them. Now, regarding the raids, Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon, three past presidents, were interviewed. Carter said the raids were wrong. He didn't like bombing innocent people, but he sent his brother over with Mr. Gaddafi to be very much a part of the assassination teams, and he's worked for Permandex and Lockheed out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he was part of the 912 black people, mainly black at Jonestown, who were never identified as victims of the CIA, of drug experimentations, mind control. He doesn't like to see innocent people killed, so on the record, he says, no, I don't want it. Gerald Ford said, we did exactly the right thing. That's the president from the Warren Commission, who was appointed by a crook to be the president until Ronald Reagan came in. And Nixon said he had no comment, which is really part funny, because he wants to be the elder statesman, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. And Jimmy Carter is saying that he thought it was wrong to kill Gaddafi's adopted daughter, that if anyone had killed Amy, he would have been so angry that he would retaliate. It would have hurt him so much if 17 years ago someone had killed Amy. Well, is Amy any more precious than the children at Jonestown? If she is, Let me know how or why he took name tags off of the people and put them in common graves and didn't even have decent burial. Now, last week, I was talking about the scandal of Kuwait Petroleum and the indictment of Darius Keaton out here in Pebble Beach and the fact that Gerald Ford stayed at the home that was owned by Charter Oil Company out here involved with the Kuwait Santa Fe oil, the scandal of the United States firm of Santa Fe that was taken over by Kuwait Petroleum. And I briefly mentioned a few factors of Gerald Ford and his relation to Charter Oil and cited the references on that. But going on to Libya, there is a network of Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford's Charter Oil, and they all combine. It has less to do with political parties than it has to do with money and big bucks in the Middle East, and that is something that people don't really understand. It hasn't got to do with Reagan, a Republican, or Carter, a Democrat. As a matter of fact, in the Executive Intelligence Review, there was a wonderful summary several years ago, in 1980, of the Billy Gates oil connections, Jimmy Carter's connections, and it cites the politics of Jimmy Carter, the president, in the fall of 1978. That was 1.5 years after we started training and arming Gaddafi to be a terrorist, and that's when the Camp David Accords took place and a summit meeting between President Carter and Anwar Sadat and Mr. Menachem Begin, the Israeli president. And the second thing was the Iranian Revolution when the Shah was out, and the third was Billy Carter going to Rome and meeting with people in Atlanta, Georgia, and with Michelle Papa, who is part of the Permandex operation that I've cited before, and the activities and the floating around of the brother of the President of the United States with these various agents from British intelligence and from the CIA and the Permandex operation. And involved with Muammar Gaddafi through all these years, not only was Billy Carter going to Libya, but Robert Vesco was going there, and Vesco was turning over information to Orrin Hatch. He's not a Democrat, he's a Republican, they're provocateurs, and Robert Vesco was setting up situations for a company called Charter Oil Company with Billy Carter. Charter Oil Company owns the home that Gerald Ford stays with at Pebble Beach, and not to confuse you too much, but the right and left, as I say, switch back and forth, and there's an article here on the Vesco link to down to the Caribbean, to the Charter Oil Company, and also the oil that would come in from Libya that Billy Carter made an offer. He was supposed to get $25 million to get the Libyan oil into an embargo-free trade situation with Libyan friends Charter Oil and Governor Kerry of New York. And this all was going on. These scandals were occurring in 1980. And again, you can go to the library and look up the story of Billy Carter, Michelle Papa, a mafiosa person from Permandex, and the top people of the mafia and the industrial world and prominent people were dealing with Libya, with the oil companies, trying to get tax benefits in the Caribbean. And Charter Oil, again, owned by Gerald Ford's friend here, not owned all of it by him, but a good hunk of it involved with Gerald Ford and Mr. Darius Keaton. The Middle East is a question of oil money, oil profits. And as that oil gushes, or you want the profits, you can get rid of the leaders. There's nothing to that, and you keep the money flowing. There's an article by Scott Thompson in 1980 in Executive Intelligence Review citing once the one over the past month, a major scandal involved the Charter Company and the Carter administration and the use of the president's brother, Billy Carter, to secure embargoed free oil from his Libyan friends for a Bahamian refinery that the Charter Company purchased in the spring of 1979 from Kerry Energy. In exchange, Charter offered Billy Carter this huge commission, and it goes on to say that in 1978, Billy Carter made his first visit to Libya with Raymond Mason, the chairman of Charter Oil, and it was the first of six negotiations with financier Robert Vesco. Now, I've mentioned Ernest Kaiser, Ernest von Kaiser from the Wehrmacht, who works with our CIA, who was shot in February 1985 and went to Bonn, Germany, and he at that time was going to bring in Robert Vesco for a judge in Florida and get some good rewards, and he also knew where Joseph Mengele was that year. And I cited the fact that Ernest Kaiser worked with Mr. Eitan and Rafi, Dirty Harry, nickname, the Israeli intelligence, the co-partner of Mr. Sharon, and they not only work in the United States but all over the world. And Vesco was a person that was wanted by various people and is still out loose with Frank Turple doing his activities. And Billy Carter was visiting with these people in return for favors for Libya and the oil companies. And by November 1978, the National Oil Company of Libya filed suit for $170 million that Mr. Kerry owed him on back oil shipments from Kerry Energy. And in 1979, Ahmed Shahadi, the unofficial foreign minister of Gaddafi's Arab Socialist Union, and met with the Libyan ambassador to Italy, and they got together in Rome with Raymond Mason of Charter Oil, and Jimmy Carter's family. Billy Carter was involved with the Charter Oil and with people very important to the multinational corporations. So Gaddafi isn't separate from them. As a matter of fact, the ownership of Charter stock, if you look it up, Raymond Mason of Charter stock, one of the big stockholders of that company is St. Joe's Paper Company, which is the largest stockholder. It's controlled by Alfred I. DuPont Trust, and the chief executive is Ed Ball, who is groomed to be the current Charter Company chairman, along with Raymond Mason and Kerry Energy, as I say, and the American Financial Corporation is another large company owning stock in Charter, and it's run by Max Fisher, and I'll do more about Max Fisher next year, and he's a partner of Robert Vesco and the Caribbean Cocaine and Marijuana Group, and he also is chairman of United Brands, the old United Fruit, and holding a big interest in that country is the company is the American Financial Corporation, run by Sean Eisenberg from Israel. So that the big bucks of oil and contacts and working with Gaddafi through all these years, 1976, 77, 78, 79, had to do with agents of Sir William Stevenson and Canadian financier E.P. Taylor. And I'm citing some names that are in this study of the people from Georgia with Jimmy Carter and Billy Carter in the middle of all this network of the Charter Oil that's close to the activities, to the murder of Sadat, to Kuwait, now the planned murder of Gaddafi, which was on the drawing board all along. And the territory is what they want, the oil, the ocean, and the territory. And in order to take it, we can't be aggressive if we just slap our friends. So we have to set them up with the means to become terrorists so we have an excuse then to slap them. That's exactly, as I say, what agent provocateurs are. And Frank Turple and Robert Vesco and the floating agent provocateurs of William Casey's early network with the Security Exchange Commission, with the investment overseas, with Bernie Kornfield. You have to get a lot of books on Watergate to look up these names, or books on Kornfield and Mr. Crosby, Harry Crosby, I mentioned last week, who died from Resorts International, was part of this team down in the Bahamas with Kornfield and Vesco. And Vesco's early money in Kornfield's was sponsored by Edmund Rothschild and the DuPonts and so forth. So when the multinationals come in as huge blocks, they set up their people for certain activities and advise them what to do. And then the big corporations come in then and own the oil, own the land, and can keep it for themselves. And when the heads of states don't behave, such as Ferdinand Marcos, you select the next person to take over. But the one thing that is sure is that you own the profit of these countries, and that's the purpose of the game, is the particular profits. There was an article in the New York Post that I've had for a long time and might have cited before about a meeting at a Super Bowl game at which Clint Murchison was talking to Billy Carter, trying to set up a deal to sell Libya air defense system. This was in 1980, setting up an air defense system. Now, an example of the way the business works is that this week there was an article. Schultz says one goal of the attack was to overthrow Gaddafi. A large article in the New York Times by Bernard Wurzman, by George Schultz and Secretary of State, that we're going to overthrow Gaddafi. And there are also documents to show how the United States planned to overthrow the Philippines. And I'll detail those for you later. But the point is that after we got Mr. Marcos out of the Philippines and the Americans arranged it and they had selected Corazon Aquino as the logical one to take over, she meets with Caspar Weinberger. And George Shultz and Caspar Weinberger, as Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, are the top officers of a company named Bechtel Corporation. So just leaving Libya for one moment, the San Francisco Chronicle, April 19th, says, April the 8th and 9th, Casper Weinberger's in the Philippines. And the 19th, it says, Bechtel sees big potential in the Philippines. The Bechtel Group has quietly begun talks with the Philippines about helping rebuild the country's industrial plants to make it the first big U.S. company to check in now that Marcos regime is out. I'll go back to this next week, but it's very important that Bechtel of Weinberger and Schultz step right in and get the money, and the banks give them the loans, and their corporations make the money, and they're making the foreign policies, then bringing the profit to the corporations that are also intelligence covers. And that, again, it's the oil and the drugs that are important. The people can be killed. They're expendable. It's the tangible bucks that you spend to keep the economy going that is what's causing these problems. But the time is out now. I threw a lot in at the last moment. I'll go back to Bechtel in the Philippines, compare it to Lydia, and do some more with you next week. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll be in touch with you. Thanks for your books and articles and letters. I'll answer as soon as I can.